All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow! Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey. Live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome in to an April 3rd edition of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, where as always, we're looking for your inbox questions. And as always, we're brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at Betano.ca. I'm Tyler Remchuk. He's our Daily Faceoff insider, Frank Saravalli. Frank, happy hump day.
Hump day! Let's go.
Yes, let's go indeed. John Goines is going to swing by in a little bit for our big segment today, the coach's room. We're going to dig in to the Toronto Maple Leafs and their recent run. We're going to talk a bit more about the Eastern Conference in a second as well, Frank. But today we are starting out west, where the Vegas Golden Knights picked up a big win over the Vancouver Canucks last night. An impressive one as they continue to widen the gap between themselves and the LA Kings, between a wild card spot and the third spot in the Pacific Division. Vegas now 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've won three in a row. They're only getting healthier, and the idea that they're going to be a massive problem for whoever they get in round one, that is a legit issue.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how are you feeling, Mr. Edmonton Oilers fan, about that potential first round matchup? What's that feeling like after a strong season for Edmonton?
Yeah, and on Oilers Nation every day, I've been hammering home this point over the last couple of weeks. The best case scenario for Edmonton, Vancouver, LA, all those teams, I think, is if they finish in a group in the Pacific, Vegas comes in wild card two, and then they're over in the central side of the bracket for the first two rounds of the playoffs. That doesn't look like it's
that
the
ain't
case
happening,
anymore,
bud.
Frank. No, it's not. 5-point gap, even with that game in hand for LA. There's just probably not enough time for them to close that distance. But what I think this adds a bit of pressure to, and Vegas beats Vancouver last night, that gap between Edmonton and Vancouver could close a little bit. I think it adds some serious importance to that race for the top spot in the Pacific, because as good as Nashville has looked over the last 6 weeks of the regular season, I think you'd still much rather play Nashville than Vegas.
100%. I just don't know if that's going to come to pass either. And I know that the Canucks have hit a little bit of a slide of late, and the Oilers have been cruising right along. To me, and I've been saying this for the last month, the Golden Knights are just beginning to get the results, really, but they've played much better hockey over the last month. Their process has been there. Their attention to detail has been much better. Something that, for whatever reason, a Bruce Cassidy team had kind of waned. I want to say at some point after the new year, that there were just some uncharacteristic losses that really stood out, that that team seemed to be lifeless. And now the scary part is, oh yeah, Tomáš Hertl, he's skating. he's getting close to being healthy. What happens in the playoffs with Mark Stone? What happens with the rest of their lineup in general? There's lots of questions for a team that's playing really well, that has the cup pedigree, that just seems like it's kind of playing a card from the Tampa Bay Lightning deck, which is flipping the switch at the exact right time of the year. All these other teams are kind of running into a wall all over the place, whether it's Vancouver, whether it's Winnipeg, Florida, all over the NHL, not everyone's peaking at the right time. And the Golden Knights seem to be finding it just in the nick of time.
Yeah, yesterday I spoke with Jason Demers, the former NHL defenseman. That's a guy who went on a handful of long playoff runs with the San Jose Sharks, and he talked about just how important this 10-game stretch is. He says it's not something that's overblown by the media. You need to be playing your best systematic hockey in those 10 games leading up, because he said teams can't just flip the switch on night one. There needs to be some sort of a buildup. That buildup looks like it's happening right now for the Vegas Golden Knights. Frank, out east, those teams fighting for a wild card spot, there's no buildup happening whatsoever. When you look at that group of Philly, Washington, Detroit, the Islanders, hell, I'll even throw the Penguins in the mix for shits and giggles. If one of them could have gone 8-2 over a 10-game stretch at any point over the last month, they'd be in. They'd be sitting with their feet up for the final 7-8 games of the regular season. No one's done it yet. And when you look at what happened last night, Washington loses, the Devils lose all hope they had of maybe pulling off a miracle with a disappointing loss themselves. The Islanders barely beat the Chicago Blackhawks last night. No one wants these final two playoff spots. And by final two, I mean Wild Card 2 and Metro 3.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, the Pittsburgh Penguins stomped the New Jersey Devils and are kind of right back in it again. I mean, is the door open for Pittsburgh? A legit question to ask. And I said this many times over the last month, this is a disgrace to pillow fights, because those are at least entertaining sometimes. It feels like the team that, or teams that get in, are going to close out the season on a 4-4-2 run. I mean, just the absolute definition of mid. And that's not necessarily ideal for drama, but I'm wondering if it's maybe about to get a little bit spicier. You could make the argument that, I mean, at varying stretches over the last couple weeks, not complete, not the full sort of 60 minutes by any stretch of the imagination, but I know John Goyens is coming on soon. Him and I were watching the same game against the Colorado Avalanche. The first half of that game, we were saying, where was that all season long for Pittsburgh? And then you watch a game like last night and you go, oh man, that's kind of interesting. Like, that might have been one of their more complete games of the year. Where, like, why is it taking to this point to finally, it's almost like they needed to have their backs absolutely up against the wall and have zero margin for error. What we're looking at from a pure, you know, playoff chance standpoint, if you want to throw that board up, Gav, is not great for the Penguins, but my God, it was half that 2 days ago. It was 5%.
Yeah, here's one. And so one thing working in the Penguins' favor right now, they're 4 points back of the Flyers. They have a game in hand. They hold the tiebreaker right now over Philly as well. With 29 regulation wins, Philly only has 28. One thing working against the Penguins, they have the toughest strengths of schedule from what I looked at, and they only play one or two non-playoff teams in their final seven games, and those two non-playoff teams are the Red Wings and Islanders. So on one hand, you sit there and go, maybe that's a blessing in disguise. Your schedule is a bit tougher, but you can actually jump those teams a little bit easier with 2 4-point games. But those other five games, they play playoff teams. Like, it's not going to be easy for the Pens.
Look, I'm going to say that's exactly what they need. And I know that sounds funny to say, but last year, did the Penguins get dummied by Buddy Robinson with the Chicago Blackhawks, and they lost that game, and that's why they didn't make it?
Yeah.
I mean, be careful what you wish for in an easy schedule and non-playoff teams, because that's when you come in and absolutely get slapped around. Maybe the competition, maybe what's on the line. Again, the math is not working in their favor, but the fact that we're even having this conversation based on where the Penguins were a week ago is utterly insane.
Let's move up the standings a little bit in the Eastern Conference to the Florida Panthers. They clinched. We know they're getting in. We've known for a while they're getting in, obviously. But one thing that's now becoming a bit of a concern is maybe that second spot in the Atlantic. The Panthers did not look good as they lost a second straight game on their road trip, this time to the Montreal Canadiens last night. And Paul Maurice had some interesting quotes after the game. Let's take a listen.
No, I'm not concerned. We understand where we're at and why we're at. I know why we're playing the way we're playing, so I'm not. I'm aware of it, though. Not till tomorrow.
All right, but obviously, not to be an excuse, but losing a lot of guys here lately, guys getting sick.
Well, we're going to lose guys. I told you that 2 weeks ago. We're going to lose bodies. We're going to get guys sick. We're going to get guys injured. It's just a function of the schedule. So it's going to be a grinder, and it's going to get worse because we get to finish off this road trip with a nice afternoon game, but 10 and 17, and that's what happens to the hockey team. So we got a good chunk of adversity right now, and part of it will be the panic that will set in outside the room about the 8 games.
Do you think you guys are dealing with adversity? Do you feel some frustration
really good
growing? Just
more. Well, only like you're competitive men and you want to win and you're not. So there's, you know, you're growly a little bit. The team's a little bit snarly, and we didn't have enough in the tank to even show that snarl tonight. But they're fine. They're going to be just fine. Everybody relax.
I wanted to play that last little part there, which is why we ran it all the way through. Everybody relax. Paul Maurice, not worried. Should he be?
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, my level of concern for the Panthers is about a 5, maybe 5.5. I just think this team's game is so translatable to the playoffs. I think they're mean, they're nasty, they're deep, they're talented. They can score, and they've gotten the goaltending. Yeah, have they lost 8 of their last 10 games? Did we just have the opposite conversation about the Vegas Golden Knights and peaking at the right time? Sure. But let me remind you and everyone else that the Panthers also lost their way into the playoffs and still went to the Cup final last year. So am I overly concerned? No, but I think it bears watching because for the last little while here, while a team like the Bruins has passed them and the Rangers are maybe in the driver's seat for the President's Trophy, a lot of people have spent the bulk of 2024 of thinking that the Panthers are the juggernaut in the East. And maybe they're showing some warts, if you will. But I still think this team is really well positioned to go on a deep run.
Yeah, I do think they will be relatively fine, but flipping that switch for night one of the playoffs, like you said, they kind of did it last year. It's a tough thing to do, though, and it's a dangerous game to play. The Panthers just 1-4 straight up in their last 5 games against fellow playoff teams. They will have a chance to bounce back against a non-playoff team tomorrow when they take on the Ottawa Senators. The Toronto Maple Leafs, 4 points back of Florida for that second spot with 2 games in hand, but Florida controls the tiebreaker. Let's continue our postmortem series before we get to our pal John Goins. Today's focus is the Arizona Coyotes, Frank, and a fascinating team to look at as you look ahead to the offseason, because who knows if they're still going to be the Phoenix or the Arizona Coyotes this offseason, which is obviously a massive question mark. Let me just ask you this under the hypothetical of they're still in the desert. If they're still in Arizona, is there any reason to believe with all their cap space and all their draft picks? We can flash this up from Cap Friendly. This is their picks in the first 3 rounds of the next 3 drafts. There's a lot. Is there any reason to believe if they're still in the desert that they will start to be more aggressive?
Well, they already were aggressive last year. I mean, they went out and signed Matt Dumba and Jason Zucker and traded for Sean Durzi. And the goal was to be knocking on the door of the playoffs. They wanted to be in this race that we're talking about right now to create some drama and some buzz in their marketplace. That didn't work out. That's a team that's sunk like a stone in the standings since the calendar year turned over. They had a competitive start to the year and really faded fast. Now, I saw a couple diehard Yotes fans tweeting me the last day or two about something that I said on the DFO rundown earlier this week, which was that here are a couple of their pending free agents that we just looked at, and they don't have a single NHL defenseman under contract for next season. And people had said, oh, stick to what you know. I'm telling you for 100% fact, and please listen closely, that the Coyotes haven't had the ability financially to extend contract offers to players. Not that they don't want to keep them, but there's obviously something going on behind the scenes, which we know is this arena situation, that they're not entirely certain what this picture looks like. And so they haven't been given the green light to go out and make offers. That's fact. Now, what happens from here and how this all plays out, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you, but there's a lot of machinations behind the scenes, a lot of investigating to try and figure out where this all goes. But there's a reason why they traded away those players in Dumba and Zucker and didn't retain, which worsened their return because they needed to get that money off their books. So it's just a small window into what the Coyotes are dealing with behind the scenes, trying to keep this all going. It's, you know, sort of looks fine above water, but beneath water, they're paddling furiously.
It will be, I mean, forget the offseason, Frank. The next 6 to 8 weeks for the Arizona Coyotes and their future will be very, very interesting.
Let me say this before we move on. Yep. Is the Coyotes have a great foundation in place. Logan Cooley, I mentioned Durzi, I mentioned some of these other pieces that they've gotten. And by the way, that Durzi example is a great, that trade is a great example of how you can leverage all those additional picks that you have. Trading for him last year for a second round pick was one of the best deals of the last calendar year, trade signing otherwise. And you've got a ton of these second round picks and thirds. You can't possibly pick all these players and use all the picks because you'll never be able to sign them to all the contracts that they require because of the 50 contract limit. So at some point, they're going to need to be more aggressive and trade some of these picks away or package them to get more players. And I'd expect Bill Armstrong to try and continue to do that, but they're not quite there yet. It seems like they're getting, you know, further along in that direction. But I'm really bullish on where the Coyotes are going from a pure hockey ops perspective and what they've built. And personally, if I were Ryan Smith sitting in Salt Lake City trying to get a team, I would 100% prefer getting the Coyotes versus starting over with an expansion franchise from scratch. Even if they cost the same, you've got a foundation in place that would put you miles ahead of where you would be with an expansion franchise.
Yeah, Jeremiah, our pal in the YouTube chat, asked if Bill Armstrong is the most handcuffed GM in the league. And I actually think Bill Armstrong deserves a ton of credit for what he's done with that roster. Again, you mentioned the Durzi trade. I give him a lot of credit for that Logan Cooley pick as well, like seeing their guy and sticking with their guy at a point when Shane Wright was falling from 1 to 2 to 3 and then to eventually 4. So I give that Coyote, or I give the Coyotes GM, I think, props for what he's been able to do with that roster.
It's not just financially right now either. It's also reputationally. Everyone loves to kick the Coyotes. Mm-hmm. And some of it's fair, some of it's unfair. But that's also a tough thing to deal with when you're trying to recruit players and bring players in, is you've got that hanging over your head and everyone wants answers to questions that you as the GM can't answer because it's way above your pay grade.
Yeah. All right, we are running behind. We got to get to our big segment today. It is the Coach's Room with John Goyens. The Coach's Room is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Nation25. John Goyens, you can listen to him on TSN 690 as a part of the Habs and Rocket broadcast. You can find him on Twitter at Gourmet Hockey and right here on Daily Faceoff Live with the Coach's Room. John, today we are sinking our teeth into the Toronto Maple Leafs. And when a lot of people look at the Leafs, think of the Leafs, or talk about the Leafs, they always talk about the core four and the skill and how the Leafs are too soft to go on deep playoff runs. But is there maybe a grittier aspect of their game coming to the surface as of late?
Well, as Gavin puts up just the basic numbers this year, would you be shocked if I told you that this team, who is not known for being the most physical team, that since the All-Star break, they are number 2?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
In the NHL, for hits, total hits, and hits per 60 minutes, I don't think anybody would even take a guess to say that all of a sudden they are more physical. And yeah, Ryan Reeves gets his bumps, but to be fair, and I'm far enough away from him so he can't reach me, but he can't catch a lot of the hits that he wants to put on there. It's the contribution from others. And then you would think maybe it's Bertuzzi. No, it goes down the line, and it's spread out right across the 20-man roster that they're dressing on a nightly basis, and they're just getting more physical. So let's fire up some clips. And it's not about rocking a guy, killing a guy, but it's just these bumps that create offensive opportunities in the O-zone. It's created more opportunities off the forecheck. And it's been guys like a Bobby McMahon who's got 12 goals since the All-Star break. 12. So their offense, even though Mitch Marner's missed the last 11 games, their offense has now had no choice but to spread out. And you see Austin Matthews gets out there with different line mates. But then you got a guy like Matthew Nyes. He just leans on guys. He moves his feet and he bumps guys. And when in doubt, you've added a lot of that sandpaper with a Jake McCabe on the back end when he's keeping it clean, or even Joel Edmondson. Now you got Timothy Liljegren throwing the weight around. And when they do this, and you'll see on the Edmondson hit, is they seal off one side of the ice, one quick pass, and two or three of those examples led to clean breakouts. But the other part is, at the other end, it's leading to more opportunities off the forecheck.
So that's been the big knock against this team, John, has been the physicality is just one part of it, but that they don't play a pure playoff style or a game that doesn't necessarily translate to playoff style hockey. When you take a deep dive at their game through their game on tape, what adjustments have they made at 5-on-5 that you've seen that might, you know, allow them to better adjust to the postseason?
Well, before we get into the sexy offensive aspect, it's the defending. All of a sudden now, they've crept into being one of the better teams at shutting down the entry against. So they haven't reduced necessarily the goals against off of entries yet. It is coming way down, but the shots on net and the chances on net from entries have vastly dropped. But the other part is the dumping rate against, which means they've got to be putting on a certain amount of pressure with the right amount of support to force teams to dump it. And then guess what? Because they're doing it so well and they're playing as more of a connected unit, they're recovering pucks and going the other way as quickly as possible. So let's fire up some of the clips of how quickly they are shutting down, reloading against rushes against. John Tavares, known for his defensive play, D's are playing tight together. And on the weak side, that weak side forward is in charge of the weak side lane. Here, they're able to press two. They gap up. Lyubushkin, he gaps up. It's a great gap. He's got support underneath. He's got support to the inside. Play is dead. Lyubushkin, again, he's going to just shift over and deny the tape-to-tape pass. Riley communicates, and look how quickly they transition because they're a connected group. It's not three forwards at one end, two at the other. It's five guys defending together. Again, good step up. Weak side lane belongs to Noah Gregor. It goes off his skates. It's up the ice. It's possession. Now you got a set breakout from Edmonton. You got a lot of speed. They get into their 1-1-3. They're closing and they're more aggressive. They surf. Matthews recovers. And look how quickly they transition. You don't see toe drags and 9 million stick handles here. It's get it, move it. And again, when you know you have that support, Lyubushkin's going to come across. Simple bump. It's up the ice. Again, quick transition. You want to be a transition team? Well, you need to defend. And that takes sometimes early gaps and things you're going to do up the ice to force teams. And then TJ Brody, I know he's been a disappointment for some, but he's still a very, very smart defenseman. He hides his stick. He then takes away that passing lane. And then all of a sudden, transition again. And it's fueling their ability to play more of a half-court game than have to play the full 200 feet.
So when you look at those previous two things we just hit on, is it having a negative impact on their, I mean, quite frankly, their bread and butter, their ability to score?
Well, it's actually, I think, making them more offensively diversified. I like to use that term often because there are teams that have one way to score. And I think Toronto has been so known for their possession on entries, but it's bitten them in the ass over the last few playoffs. They've had a higher turnover rate that has led to more goals off the rush against, because if you're turning it over at the offensive blue line, well, guess what? You got four or five guys going north, one turnover, it's an on-man rush. So now all of a sudden their puck possession and their puck decisions have become more playoff ready. The place and chase element, the puck management and underhandling pucks at time and embracing the forecheck. So let's fire up those clips. And as we roll out of our segment, you're going to see that they are offensively diversified and there are more players getting involved. And it starts with a young guy, Matthew Nyes. He does a great job defensively, doesn't cheat. Boom. He sends Robertson on the rush. TJ Brody, no stick handle. Domi, no stick handle. Two passes. Bang, you hit the stretch guy. And Bertuzzi, who had a very slow start, now has 13 goals in his last 26 games since the All-Star break. Again, offense being spread out. Again, a very similar clip we saw earlier. Lyubushkin, boom, eliminates his man. Brody recovers. They go back D to D. It's up the ice. And give it to the guy who's going to potentially push for 70 goals in Matthews. Place and chase. You got Matthews on the ice, but still, place and chase. He embraces. He gets involved. Watch the weak side. Aaron Ekblad sleeping at the switch on this play. His stick is up. Bertuzzi's right there, and it's a tap-in. So their zone time has actually gone down a little bit, but I think it's because of quick strike mentality. Chip, chip. Simple. You teach young kids to do this. Chip, chip. All of a sudden, you're on their side of the red line. Steal a puck. Get below. Trapezoid goal. And Matthew Nyes, who was the first forward to chip it, beats his coverage up ice, and he's right down the pipe for a tap-in. Watch. Nylander, oh, no, he's going to turn it over. He's going to overhandle. Nope. Place and chase. Liljegren, poke the puck. Keep it alive. Bobby McMahon, who's also contributed in a big way, 12 goals in his last 27 games. Again, Lyubushkin, put the puck deep. Live to fight another day. Poised to place. Don't rush to an area. And Nylander's right in that high pocket. And we'll end it on this one. Domi, what's he going to bring? Well, his net presence. Watch him get lost in coverage. He's moving. Trapezoid goal. One of my favorite. And he just gets lost in coverage. There's a lot of movement. It creates a lot of confusion. Gets his own rebound. And he buries it. There's not one way that they can score right now. And they've surprised me because I have felt that many times if they don't feel their offensive mojo going, it really stumps them. The one area I want everybody to focus when you're watching Toronto Maple Leafs, Since the trade deadline, they are 32nd in the league on the power play at 8.6%. It's a big, big downward spiral right now for their power play, and they got to figure it out without Mitch Marner.
We'll see if they can get it pieced together. Marner coming back would obviously help. That is a wrap on this week's edition of the Coach's Room. Thanks, John.
Have a good one.
Moving along to our daily face-off inbox question brought to you by Douglas Mattress. You can order yours today at douglas.ca/DFO, and you can be sleeping as good as I do every night on my Douglas Mattress, handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery. And right now, every mattress order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. You get two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector free with every order. douglas.ca/DFO. Frank, the chat honestly only wants to know one thing. And Rusty, our listener from Utah, Fighting Amish, asked it as well. What's the timeline for the NHL when it comes to Arizona and potentially moving? Do you feel like there's a date where, like, once we get past here, they're locked into Arizona again?
Yeah, I would say June 1st. It would have to happen, I think, before May 31st. And I'm really on the fence. I think it's a coin flip as to what this team, you know, where they end up playing next season. I don't think the NHL loves the idea of sort of rolling the dice and hoping, wishing, praying that Alex Mariuolo can get the arena done. But at the same time, as long as Alex Mariuolo is a combatant in this issue and wants to retain control of the franchise, I think what they're weighing is how do we basically go about stripping him of this franchise or forcing a sale back to the league so that they can extract a win for other owners in a relocation fee. You can't just sell them to Ryan Smith because the league had spent the last two decades propping this franchise up. The other owners have felt the HRR losses and the players at times. It's got the money you would think has to go back to owners instead of directly to Ryan Smith. So, or directly to Alex Mariuolo, excuse me. So does the NHL want to fight it? That's really the big question mark. Do they think they can win? Because you never see Gary Bettman and Bill Daly pick a fight that they don't think they're going to win.
Fair enough. Let's move along to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Just one play for me this evening. It is the old shot prop parlay. Two players at 1.5. I like Jacob Trouba in this spot. He's hit this in 6 straight games, with 4 of them being 3 or more shots. So he's been crushing it on a handful of nights. Joe Pavelski is the other one I like. He's hit this number in 5 consecutive games. I like him to do it again as the Stars take on the Oilers. Play these two together. It is +136, and that is all I got for a relatively small slate here on a Wednesday night in the NHL. Wrapping up with Garbage Time, brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. I am out. I am cooked. I lost on day 2 because the Sabres offense decided to show up. But if you're like me and you're a loser in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool, you can be a winner by going to Wendy's and checking out the all-new Cinnabon Pull-Aparts. You can get them with a small coffee for just $5 today on the Wendy's app. Frank, Garbage Time today. Disappointing news out of the ECHL that the Newfoundland Growlers are going to be ceasing operations. It always sucks when you see a hockey market like this lose their team.
Yeah, it's not only that. It's also a tough spot for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Their guys don't have a place to play in the ECHL. And I know a lot of people are sitting back saying, well, who cares? It's the ECHL. And then you look at someone like Bobby McMahon on their roster and you see, oh, Bobby McMahon spent some time in the ECHL. Timothy Liljegren played one game for the Newfoundland Growlers. And so it's not only a passionate hockey market that just ran into business and operations troubles, and that hurts. So it not only hurts the Leafs, it hurts a great Canadian market that wanted to support pro hockey. And I'm convinced that someone can find a way to make it work in Newfoundland. We'll see what that ends up developing like. It was a lot to try and get done in a real short period of time, to not only get the debt paid off, but to sell the franchise to someone new and then have them basically come in the last few weeks of the season and keep things propped open. So to cease operations immediately in the middle of a season is really tough for everyone to take, especially those players as well who are now scrambling, in addition to the Leafs guys that were under NHL contracts.
Yeah, feel for the fans, feel for those players, like you said. That is a wrap on today's edition of Daily Faceoff Live. We'll be back tomorrow at noon Eastern. Chat with you then.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. And let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount. And that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first. And you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.